CRJ230. We head into weeks 7 and 8. That's right, weeks 7 and 8. We are almost halfway through the semester. Weeks 7 and 8, we focus on hearsay. So I put a document on Blackboard for week 7 that I ask you to read. If you haven't read that, stop. Go read the document, come back. Then when you listen to this, it'll make more sense. We're looking for a discussion this week that focuses on cases, Illinois criminal cases, related to the general concept of prohibition of hearsay. I want you to focus on cases that define what hearsay is and why it's not allowed, as opposed to why it's more often accepted. Exceptions are next week. Let's take this one step at a time. Now, almost everyone has heard of the term hearsay. Now, maybe you haven't, but I would assume that you probably have. The precise legal definition often is elusive, and then even misunderstood. And as an example, hearsay evidence occurs anytime a person states in court what someone told him or her outside of court, and they offer that statement for its truth. So again, hearsay occurs anytime a person in court, so a witness on the witness stand, attempts to state in court what someone else told them outside of court, and they offer that for the truth of that statement. As you know from your own personal lives, information repeated by someone besides the person who made that statement originally may be suspect. Even if it's not intentionally altered, it can be misstated, misconstrued. And the fact that you aren't able to get the information or explanations about or clarifications on the statement from the person who actually made the statement causes it to be suspicious, suspect. You've heard the term, get it straight from the horse's mouth. We would rather hear the statement directly from the person who made that statement, and we refer to that individual as the declarant. A lot of weird words in the law, but the declarant is the person who makes a statement. How many times in your life have you been in a situation where you end up in some sort of drama or conflict, whether you want it to be or not? And that drama or conflict comes about as a result of someone repeating the statement of someone else. And in the course of repeating that statement, somehow they get the facts wrong, or that it's added to the story, you know? If you ever played the game, the telephone game, and if we were in a classroom, I'd make you play that game, and I'd whisper something in someone's ear at the front of the class and have them repeat it on down the line. And by the time it got to the back of the class, whatever I had initially told that first person would be altered in some way, shape, or form. It's not to say that anybody did that improperly. It's just the nature of hearsay statements. Putting this in the context of a witness in court, and in particular statements made by a defendant in a criminal case, we must remember that a criminal defendant is not required to take the witness stand. The cases for the next 2 weeks will bear this scenario out. Now, there's an exception for that that we'll deal with next week, and you'll probably see examples of this week as you look through the cases. Where the out-of-court statement has not been offered in court for the truth of its content, the statement is not considered hearsay. So an example, when a witness makes a statement under oath in court and that testimony is consistent with a statement of the witness on a prior occasion, another witness, someone who heard the prior inconsistent statement, may be called to testify as to that statement. Now, this is an exception because it isn't offered for the content of the statement itself, but rather to indicate that the witness said something different or inconsistent with his or her testimony at some prior time. As you complete the reading for this week, the research and the discussion of the cases this week, and we focus primarily on what hearsay is rather than what it is not, keep in mind the basic complaint against hearsay evidence. That basic complaint is that the information isn't coming directly from the declarant. It's not coming from someone who's in court. The statement is repeated from the one speaking and not the person who is under oath. And because it's repeated and not from the person under oath, it's less reliable. It's not subject to cross-examination. It's not subject to all the things that we've talked about in the first 6 weeks of class regarding foundation competency, right? It's suspicious suspect. Now, next week, we're going to expand a little bit, and you'll see that while hearsay is prohibited, there are a lot of exceptions, including for that criminal defendant who does not take the stand. Any statements that individual might have made are likely able to be introduced, and we'll talk about that later. But for this week, I want you to focus on what hearsay is and why, in general, we don't allow it. Week 7. Days are getting longer. The sun's staying out longer. It's going to be 40 degrees this week, and all this snow that we got in the last week or so is going to melt. Things are looking up. Spring break in 2 weeks. Keep yourselves healthy. Wash your hands. Keep your distance. Take care of yourself and others. Be kind. And read this stuff. It's important to you. It's interesting. And it's worth your time. I appreciate you. I hope you stay well. If you need me, you know where to find me.